You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the Punt Podcast here with William Hill. Dave Kellner, Tom Kerwin and Derek McGovern here with you. And ready and set to get stuck into this weekend's Premier League fixtures, 10 of them in total. Dave Kellner here in the studio, joined by Derek McGovern, first of all, who's on the line. Good morning to you, Derek.
Good morning, chaps. How are you doing?
Very well. How are you, sir?
Yes, not bad. Hoping for better luck with my Nats. I've gone at all levels at the moment, haven't I, in the Nats table. After a string of winners last season, I can't get my face on the board, and it's nearly October. I can't believe it.
I like the way you put it all down to luck as well, Derek.
You know what? When you're back, you know, like last season, I thought I couldn't tip a loser. Like so many, but now I feel like I can't. It's confidence, isn't it? You know, last night, again, I fancied Brazers, said yes, and I asked to go home and think about it. Confidence is just gone.
Tom Kerwin joins us as well on the line. Good morning to you, Thomas.
Good morning. I can't say I've had much better success, of course, this season. I feel a bit like Wayne Rooney. I'm kind of here. I'm taking part, but I don't really know why.
And always shattered by the end of the podcast as well, Tom, no doubt.
Yes. Yeah. Looking a little bit. Yeah. Absolutely forlorn.
And you've got a pork pie in each hand.
I always have them. Always got a couple of pies around.
I'm sure that won't be the last mention of Wayne Rooney on this podcast, because we start with Manchester United versus Leicester, which is the early kickoff on Saturday. Manchester United 4-6 to win the match. The draw in the betting at 3-1 with Leicester at 9-2. And Hans Dodds, Marcus Rashford to score. And Man United to win was 13-8, now 5-2. Riyad Mahrez to score and Leicester to win was 8-1, now 10-1. We've got offers on the William Hill website for Zlatan Ibrahimovic and Jamie Vardy as well. Derek, is Wayne Rooney eventually going to get dropped by Jose Mourinho? Because he started midweek, and that to me was a pointer to the sort of side Mourinho's going to select at the weekend.
Possibly, but he's so far, both for England and Man United, he seemed undroppable, hasn't he? I don't know what it is he's got to do to be, well, not rested, but to be dropped, basically, because he's just not doing it. Yeah, and to be fair, ask any Man United fan. You know, every Man United fan I've spoken down to has told me that he hasn't done anything for about 3 years now. I don't know. I mean, you know what my feelings of Rooney, at his best, he was one of the best. But now, as Bucks Fizz would say, now those days have gone. He's a shadow of his former self. And you look at these odds here, you know, and I'm always fascinated by the anatomy of odds compiling. I've read somewhere that the ideal for your odds compilers, any odds compilers, is to attract two-way money, three-way money really, counting the draw, but basically two-way money. But no one's going to be back in United at 4-6 here. I can't believe Leicester at 9-2. A few weeks ago, they were, I think they were 5-1 to win at Liverpool, and I lumped on, and they were shocking, absolutely shocking. Well, I think they've got a much better chance of winning at Man United right now than they would do at Anfield. And don't forget, that was a big day of the opening of the new stadium, blah, 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 blah. Less than 9-2. It's just, it's one of those places where you think, well, there's something wrong there. Why are they 9-2? They shouldn't be, basically. Top whack, they should be 11-4 in my book. 9-2 is a gift.
Yeah, 9-2 is it does look a huge price. You look at Jose Mourinho as well. I just wonder, Tom, whether he's gone soft, because I don't think Juan Mata would be. I'm not saying Juan Mata's played particularly poorly in the early part of the season, but we know that Mourinho doesn't fancy him as a player, but he's had a look in. Wayne Rooney has just been dreadful, and he's not been dropped yet. I think he will be dropped for this match this weekend, famous last words. And Mourinho now, 12 defeats in his last 23 league games as manager. His previous 12 defeats as a boss came over a period of 110 games. We're saying, is Wayne Rooney gone at the game? Is Jose Mourinho gone at the game, Tom?
Well, we talked, didn't we, about his criticism of his players after games, and he's sort of singling out players, and we thought, has he learnt nothing from that last year at Chelsea? You know, I said pre-season that Mourinho would be successful at Manchester United if he's learnt the lessons from all those mistakes he made last year, and there were countless mistakes. But he doesn't seem to be. He's forcing players into the team in their own position. He's publicly criticising them. He's falling out with everybody. We also said pre-season, Paul Pogba is key to Manchester United this year. You don't spend £100 million on a player without them being absolutely your focal point of your team. And he has failed to get hit anywhere near the best out of him. And you only had to watch the Euros and see how Pogba was playing with France in that deep line position. It doesn't suit him. It's not where he wants to play. He wants to be able to roam around. And Pogba's looking up the pitch and seeing Wayne Rooney stroll around the pitch, hit crosses into the stand and into the supporters. And he's probably thinking, well, why aren't I allowed to do that? Why aren't you letting me do that? And I think there's this kind of control thing with Mourinho that, he will not bow to any kind of pressure from the players, even when it's staring him absolutely right in the face. So I can't believe it. There was one stat I'd read this week as well, and I'm not really into, loads and loads of statistics, but I thought it was quite interesting. Manchester United this season have covered the fewest kilometres, 526 in total of their players. And that's quite a way down on anybody else in the league. So they're just not moving around the pitch. And probably Wayne Rooney's probably not even covering 1K a game at the moment. I don't get it. He doesn't know his strongest 11. Manchester United are miles away the way things are right now, unless a lot of things change. He could change his team this weekend. But I can't disagree with Derek. Leicester are a way, way too big a price. And I know you can look at Leicester and you can dissect their results and say, all right, the only two wins they've had in the league have come at home against Swansea and Burnley, two sides you'd expect them to beat. The Liverpool game, they were stuffed at Anfield. But Liverpool can do that to anyone. And as we said, I think that Champions League game was probably weighing on their mind. But there's still far too many players in this Leicester side that will absolutely relish the opportunity of going to Manchester United and hitting them on the break like they have done in the past. And also just upsetting what doesn't look to be a happy camp at the moment. And Slimani is a player who, has been in great goal scoring form in 2016, 22 goals and 23 league appearances, over the course of this calendar year. 5-2 any time. I like that a lot.
Islam Slimani to score 5-2. If you're looking at Leicester to win the game, it's 9-2. Does the situation have any part to play in this, Derek, with Leicester having played 120 minutes midweek against Chelsea and having Porto on Tuesday night as well in the Champions League? Do you think there's any chance they might just ease off slightly in this game?
Well, I don't think they'll ease off. The champions and they're playing at Man United. They won't ease off. Will it have an effect? Well, yeah, probably, yes, probably. Maybe that's why they're 9-2. Maybe your odds compilers think the way they've shaped at Anfield, did they have that game against Club Brugge on their mind? Well, they're playing next week against Porto on Tuesday or Wednesday, I think, that's the danger. It could be on their mind again. But even so, you can't pass up 9-2 here.
9-2, Leicester to win at Old Trafford for both Tom and for Derek in the opener. Arsenal versus Chelsea is the next televised game, Saturday tea time, 5:30. Arsenal 29-20 to win the match. The draw 23-10, Chelsea 21-10. Enhanced odds, Alexis Sanchez to score and Arsenal to win was 16-5, now 9-2. And Chelsea to win to nil was 9-2. That's been enhanced to 11-2. Arsenal without a win in their last 9 Premier League meetings with Chelsea since beating them at Stamford Bridge 5-3 back in October 2011. And they failed to score in their last 6 Premier League games against Chelsea as well. Chelsea have got that terrific record, Tom, at the Emirates Stadium, having won 4 games there, which is more than any other away side. I get the feeling we always get lured into backing Arsenal at these sort of prices at home against Chelsea when we know they always get bullied. Will it be the same scenario again? Will Chelsea go there and bully Arsenal at the Emirates on Saturday tea time?
Yeah, they will. Arsene Wenger's had 39 games against Chelsea during his 4,000 years at Arsenal. He's won just 14 of them. He cannot seem to get the upper hand. It doesn't matter who the manager was. Of course, he had that long losing streak against Jose Mourinho or failing to beat him when he was at Chelsea. But I think there's a mental block, I think, when Chelsea come to town with Arsenal. It's an interesting match, this one, for all kinds of reasons, because Chelsea this season, I'm a fan of them. They didn't play well against Liverpool. They're a team, I think, that are going to struggle with possession of the ball. They don't seem to be almost comfortable with it. And I don't know whether that's coming from the manager, Conte. I don't know whether he's trying to replicate a little bit of what Leicester did last season, or he's just quite happy to not have the ball. But they let Liverpool have far too much of it, particularly first half last week. So someone described them to me as kind of a passive side, and I understand that. I think they spring to life every now and then, and they've got undoubted quality. I mean, Costa's in great form, of course. I think they've got real match winners in their side. But I don't think that's a problem going to the Emirates. I don't think it's a problem being the kind of side that maybe don't want possession of the ball. Let Arsenal have it. We know how this is going to go. Arsenal are going to have a lot of possession of the ball. Chelsea are going to threaten them and probably going to get to half-time. Maybe the scorelines are level and you'll think Chelsea have had the best chance. They might have only had one. They might have only had, a flurry of attacks. But they're going to look more threatening, I think, than this Arsenal side who... I've got to disregard Arsenal when they go to Watford and they go to Hull and they steamroll them. That's what Arsenal do. flat track bullies, I suppose, in that sense. But I think when they come up against the Chelsea side, they will really rise to this. I can't see Arsenal winning this game. And my favourite stat of the weekend, I'm sure you've got this written down, Dave, this one about referee Michael Oliver, who's refereeing again. It's unbelievable. Arsenal, the last 8 games Michael Oliver's ref, they've failed to win. They've drawn 5 and lost 3. The last 13 games that Chelsea have had Michael Oliver, they're unbeaten in those games.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
And 4 red cards in the last 5 games for Arsenal against Chelsea. I just didn't know whether to look for goals or not in this one. And the fact there's been 4 goals in the last 5 meetings at the Emirates suggests to me this might be a tight one. But I'm with Chelsea to nick it.
And if you are looking for a red card in the game, just go onto the William Hill website and click on the corners, cards and stats markets, and you'll see red card in the match. It is short. Yes, is 9-4. And I think that's down, Derek, to Arsenal. They just end up getting frustrated against Chelsea, or they have done in recent history. I must admit, this is the most tempted I've ever been to back Arsenal in recent times against Chelsea, because the way Liverpool dominated Chelsea in that first 45 minutes, I think team news is so important as well here, because if John Terry isn't fit, I think they're susceptible in terms of their centre of defence. I think it's weak there without John Terry.
It is, without question. I mean, Liverpool mullered them, didn't they, really? But I look at this Arsenal team sheet. Well, basically what it says is right. You know, they've scored 4 in their last 2 games, but that's what Arsenal do. You know, they just, you know, put bad teams to bed very early, come up against a good team, and they just don't seem to get out of first gear. And Chelsea are a good team, despite how they looked against Liverpool. I don't think Chelsea will bully them. I'm not sure they've got the personnel to do that anymore. I'm looking down their list here, and it doesn't look like a bullying side. You know, but I still fancy Chelsea big time. I can't have Arsenal. I really can't. Whenever they come up against a good team, they find one thing. What they're wanting is a few decent strikers. I'm going to go for Chelsea here. At a big price, really, isn't it? 21-10. It's not that often you get that for Chelsea. And before the Liverpool game, they've done absolutely nothing wrong, had they? Looked dead and buried against Leicester in the League Cup in midweek, and, you know, fought back fantastically. Went to extra time. There might be worries about tiredness, blah, blah. But, you know, there's probably going to be a lot of different personnel on the pitch this weekend. Big price, Chelsea, for me. I'm not going to let it miss. Go missing.
21-10 for Chelsea. If you're looking at some of the other enhanced odds offers we have here at William Hill, maybe you're interested in Diego Costa to score and Chelsea to win. That was 100-30 and is now 9-2.
One thing I'd say, Dave, just about the way that the game will probably go, even if Terry plays or he doesn't, if he doesn't, then David Luiz has, you know, got that little bit of extra pace. But the one thing where I think Chelsea are still quite strong is if Terry plays in particular, he's right in that the middle of the pitch. Mm. You know, Ivanovic tucks in, Matic gets back, Kante's going to be on Ozil all game and nibbling away. And I think Arsenal, I think that's why Chelsea have had a good record, because I think Arsenal play into Chelsea's strengths, which is they don't like to be stretched. They haven't got the pace and the legs anymore to be stretched as they were against Liverpool. And I don't think Arsenal at home tend to do that. It ends up being very compact. They want to score the perfect goal. They still want to play that way. And I think that they kind of play into Chelsea's hands, I think.
You mentioned Ivanovic there, though, Tom. I think he's gone now.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
They need to find a replacement for him long term.
Yeah, it's gone on for too long, I suppose, where they just always relied on him, and he was sensational, wasn't he, for a few years. But, you know, last season he was probably arguably their worst player. I don't think he's any great shakes at all. I think Chelsea need. I think Conte's aware of that. They'll need they'll need 4 or 5 probably players over the next couple of years, given the aging of that, you know, nature of that side. But like I say, I think they're good value this weekend.
The 20th anniversary, isn't it, of Arsene Wenger's? Well, he was appointed 20 years ago this week as Arsenal manager. There's talk at the Emirates of building a statue for him. But in fact, somebody who both met with him was thinking of erecting a statue of Jim Bowen with a little message saying, "Here's what you could have won."
West Ham versus Southampton is the Sunday live match, 4 p.m. West Ham 15-8, draw 11-5 with Southampton 17-10. The enhanced odds, Dimitri Payet to score and West Ham to win, was 4-1, enhanced to 6-1. Shane Long to score and Southampton to win was 16-5, now 9-2. Also got Mikel Antonio and Dusan Tadic as part of a couple of enhanced odds offers on the website as well. Derek, Southampton have won just 1 of their last 5 league visits to West Ham. That was obviously when they were going to Upton Park, with both teams scoring in each of those 5 matches as well. They'll fancy improving their record this weekend, though, given West Ham's recent run in the league, where they have been they've been dismal. They did edge past Accrington midweek with Dimitri Payet's late winner. but conceded 3 against Manchester City, 4 against Watford and 4 against West Brom. If you're conceding 4 goals in a game against West Brom, Derek, you've got problems.
Big problems. I mean, that's the equivalent of conceding 12 against any other team. I mean, I don't know who can explain what's gone wrong at West Ham. They had one or two injuries to, you know, key players, but nothing that any other team doesn't have, and they get by. I just can't explain it. The move to the new ground as well, but they're getting pasted away from home as well, so that doesn't fully explain it. I don't know. The manager looks a forlorn figure. They're not a team that you want to back at the moment. 15-8 to beat Southampton last season, you'd have been all over it, wouldn't you? But I don't know, what is Southampton favourites to win this game, aren't they?
Yep, they are.
They haven't conceded a goal in the last 3 matches, Southampton. I mean, they haven't been playing great teams in that spell. But West Ham aren't a great team either. Whatever the manager's doing there, it's working. I've got a heart to go for Southampton. They're beating teams they should beat at the moment. And right now, West Ham are a team they should beat. So I'm going to go for Southampton, and I like them. I like them away from home, Southampton. I think they're set up a bit like Palace of yesteryear, of last season, set up for away performances.
Derek mentioned there, Tom, that Slaven Bilic cuts a forlorn figure. I think even when they're winning, he looks forlorn. Slaven Bilic, he's just got that look about him, hasn't he? And it is strange to see Southampton favourites to win at West Ham.
Yeah, it is. I think they're really struggling, West Ham. I think they've got so much stuff going on all over the place, and other things going on off the pitch, in the stands. And Slaven Bilic, I don't know, he just seems to have had all enthusiasm sucked out of him at the start of the season. You know, I mentioned it before, when you'd seen him on the telly in the summer, you know, as a pundit at the Euros, he was brilliant, and you were watching him thinking, oh, this is what he's like day to day at the training ground. No wonder West Ham had such a great season, you know, full of sort of zest and enthusiasm for the game. But I think it's proving a very difficult time for West Ham, and what they're really lacking is goal scorers. I mean, if Mikel Antonio hadn't have been around and popped up with all these headers, they would be in serious trouble. I mean, Southampton aren't scoring many goals themselves, 4 in their last 5 games in the league this season. So, you know, they're not free scoring, but I think West Ham are going to give them chances. And actually, I thought Southampton did pretty well at Arsenal. They were okay against Manchester United, but not fantastic. But, you know, I was looking at Southampton over the last few summers, and they've consistently sold their top scorers. You know, they just keep going. I mean, they lost 22, 23 goals, you know, from their team with Pelé and Mane going. And it's going to take them a little bit of time, but I think they'll be rubbing their hands together at the thought of going to West Ham and just piling it on. Very strange for West Ham to be conceding the goals they had done, and how many people were stung last week. I mean, I thought West Ham were a decent price at West Brom. But they just collapse. Something's not right there. And when I look at a team and I think something's not right, I'm always going to back the opposition. And Southampton, they've got a little bit of confidence, as Derek says, 3 wins on the spin for them. So, you know, they're favourites. And I think I think it's going to take West Ham a while to get into that new stadium and get used to it, maybe even a year or so. So Southampton will be my bet here as well.
Mikel Antonio, by the way, you mentioned him there, Tom. 19-10 he is to score any time in this match. Scored his first ever Premier League goal in this fixture last season, and West Ham have had 5 headers on target in the Premier League this season, and all of them have gone in from Antonio, which is incredible, really. 19-10 he is to score at any time in this game. Just with reference to that West Brom match as well, I know they lost that game 4-2, but they dominated large parts of that game, and how West Brom scored 4 goals in that match is beyond me, because I think they only had 4 or 5 shots on target in the match.
But I think it was just defensively they were that bad. I mean, the goals that they gave away were so simple. West Brom didn't think they had to work too hard for it, and that seems to be the problem. I think that's what happens when it's not going for you. It's not going for you, and I think at the moment West Ham are feeling a bit sorry for themselves, and I don't know whether they've got it in and roll up their sleeves and you know, sort of get back to wins. I think at the moment they'd probably take anything. They'd probably take a point from the weekend just to get themselves going.
Both going with Southampton then here, Derek?
Yeah, definitely.
You've agreed on the first 3 matches. I'm getting concerned now. Burnley versus Watford is the last of the televised matches this weekend, Monday 8 p.m. Burnley 15-8 to win it. The draw 11-5 with Watford in the betting at 17-10. And Tom, Watford are on the crest of a wave at the moment. Came from 2-0 down to beat West Ham 4-2, then took advantage of Manchester United at Vicarage Road, winning 3-1. Odi Ighalo, Troy Deeney, Etienne Capoue, all amongst the goals at the moment. And Burnley have been whipped by Leicester 3-0 and Chelsea 3-0 in 2 of their last 3 league games, with that draw 1-1 against Hull sandwiched in between. I'm really concerned for Burnley. They're not having any shots on, or many shots on target at the moment, right now. And even though they've got a pretty strong defensive home record, I think Watford, Watford looked good to me at 17-10,
yeah,
Tom.
They do. I mean, you know, their strikers are back. They're scoring goals. I thought they were really good against Manchester United, you know, and I think what was great about Watford is they were ruthless. I think they'd seen a kind of wounded animal in front of them, and they didn't sort of sit back and think, well, we might get something. They made sure they did, and I thought they were pretty good, although Manchester United weren't great. And Burnley, they're just not a threat, are they? They're not going to be a team, I think, that Watford, when they're having their team meeting ahead of this game, you know, what kind of threats they're really looking at. Yeah, the front two can cause you problems, but like I've said before, they don't have the pace to be able to match certain sides. They don't have the pace or the power. They're all right against the Hull, you know, even though they let that slip at home, and the teams that are further down there, I don't think they're going to have too many problems. But against this Watford side, I just think there's too much nous in this Watford side from both the bench and on the pitch to have too many problems against Burnley. Burnley have got to be careful because their next run of games as well, they've got Arsenal at home, Southampton away, Everton at home, and Manchester United away. So if they look at the next five games, they'd have to look at this, maybe drawing their home matches, but they'd have to mark this down as probably 3 points. I know it seems really early on in the season to be saying that, but this is the first ever top flight meeting between these two sides as well, which I found a little bit strange. But I think Watford wouldn't even take a draw in this one. I think they'll feel Burnley is the kind of place we should be going and getting a result. But I'm still unsure this year of what to make of Watford in terms of where are they heading? What's their aim? Top 10? I think that would probably be something they might look at. I don't think they'll be anywhere near that. But I just think on their day, they've got players now that are in form. And I'd be backing Troy Deeney to get the better of this Burnley defence. 9-5 any time, I think, is good. And on the headline offer as well, Troy Deeney to score and the enhanced odds on a Watford win at 9-2 looks very good.
Other enhanced odds offers there. Andre Gray to score and Burnley to win was 7-2, enhanced to 5-1. And if you fancy Gray to score and Burnley to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1, it's enhanced to 7-1. Ighalo to score and Watford to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 has been enhanced to 13-2. I mentioned Burnley's home record, Derek. They've conceded just 5 goals in their last 16 home games in the league, spanning across this season and the Championship. They've never conceded more than once in a match in that time as well. Do you give Burnley any hope here, Derek?
Well, yeah, because they're not meeting a star-studded side, are they? But then again, you look at Burnley's squad and there's an absence of Premier League quality, it seems. Unless some of these players step up and play at a level they've never played at before, you know, you can see them going down, you know, by Christmas, because it just doesn't look, you know, there doesn't look enough talent there. Watford, okay, as I say, they're not star-studded either, but they've got players who can score at this level. We saw it last season, and we saw it again last week against Man United. That was a very good performance, that, from Watford. I wasn't expecting what I saw. They did the job, you know, and Tom used the word ruthless, and they were. It was a really an accomplished display. And if they play like that against Burnley, they'll walk all over them. You mentioned, will Chelsea bully Arsenal? It's more likely that Watford will bully Burnley, in my eyes. I think, you know, there's almost a men against boys feel in this fixture to me. And I'll be back in the men.
Watford to win the game 17-10. They have got a couple of real, not stars in that team, but players that have excited me this season. Etienne Capoue and Roberto Pereira, I think looks fantastic, Tom. I don't know if you managed to see much of him, but he looks great into that midfield.
Well, yeah, and, you know, Capoue, what is he, third top scorer at the moment this season, you know, in all competition amongst the Premier League players. So, you know, if they're doing something right. I just think in this one, you know, it's kind of, I think teams go to Turf Moor now, and because they know that they can't really hit them on the counter-attack, I just think they can keep them at arm's length, and I think that's what Watford will do. The one thing I would say about this game, though, it will be tight. I fancy Watford to win, but I don't expect there to be loads of goals in it. You know, Watford have the capabilities of scoring 1 and 2, but generally games at Turf Moor are pretty tight, and I can't see necessarily more than 3 goals in this game at all.
Let's get stuck into the non-televised fixtures this weekend. Then Saturday, 3 p.m. kickoffs, and we'll start with Middlesbrough versus Tottenham. Middlesbrough 3-1 to win the match. The draw 12-5 with Tottenham at 21-20. Enhanced odds offers. Tottenham to win by 2 or more was 11-4. It's now 3-1. Tottenham to win and both teams to score has been enhanced here as well. Was 100-30, now 4-1. Alvaro Negredo to score and Middlesbrough to win was 11-2, now 7-1. And there is a couple of headline offers, enhanced odds offers for Vincent Janssen to score two or more, 10 to 1 now, and him to score and Tottenham to win was 12 to 5 now, 7 to 2. And Derek, he will play as well, you'd think, Vincent Janssen, because Harry Kane is out for up to 8 weeks with his ankle problem. And he's missed just 4 Premier League games for Tottenham since the start of the 2014-2015 season. And Spurs have failed to win any of the games that he's missed, scoring just twice in that spell, losing 3 times and drawing 1. So they have struggled without Harry Kane in that starting lineup, Derek.
Yeah, they haven't had to do without him very often, but yeah, you're right, they have struggled without him. That probably explains why Tottenham are 21-20. I'm guessing if Kane was involved there, 10-11 maybe.
Yeah, possibly.
21-20 looks a decent price, doesn't it? But yeah, that is a big worry. They haven't got into this stride, Tottenham, yet, have they? They've looked that there's another gear to come from them. That game against Monaco sticks in the mind in the Champions League when they were really poor. They beat Sunderland, but only narrowly. Yeah, they pasted Gillingham in midweek, but big deal. I don't know what to make of Tottenham at the moment. That said, it wasn't that long ago they went to Stoke and won 4-0. Why shouldn't they go to Middlesbrough and win? I mean, Middlesbrough, I thought they'd do all right in the Premier League, but what I've seen, a couple of tidy performances early on, in particular that derby win against the Derby Day win against Sunderland. But they look a limited side, and Tottenham should be going there and winning. They've got any pretensions of being in the title race again. This is a fixture that, you know, they've got a right 3 points on. I'm going to give them a chance here, Tottenham at 21-20. There's a lot more to come from them. Middlesbrough, I don't think there's anything more to come. What we've seen is what you're going to get from Middlesbrough, a tidy side that don't really threaten. They're not going to get pasted by anybody. But I saw them against Everton last week and they never looked like scoring. You know, they got a goal that shouldn't have been allowed anyway. And that was, but I think, in fact, that was, I don't think they had the shot on target, did they, Middlesbrough? Did I read that stat right? And then yet they scored a goal. I think Tottenham should be winning this. And 21-20, even without Harry, I think that's a bet.
I can see, Tom, lots of support for Tottenham. It wouldn't surprise me if they do go off odds on for this game. We're recording this on Friday morning around about 11:30. I think they'll be heavily backed Tottenham in this one.
I would agree. My go-to default bet for Tottenham this year has been a Tottenham win and unders, because they seem to be that kind of team. They're not hitting their stride yet. I don't think they did it on occasions last season when they did demolish a side, and obviously they've done it to Stoke this year, who are in a real mess at the moment. But I never think they're going to be doing that, even with Harry Kane in the side. But, you know, people I've spoken to and know a little bit more about Janssen than I do, I haven't really seen him play, you know, suggest that Spurs have got a very decent player. Obviously, the question will be whether he can step into Kane's boots and fill them this weekend. But I think it's the kind of game he'll be relishing, you know, and he's got to step up. You know, it's not just one game. It's not a one-game suspension for Harry Kane. They've been very coy about how long he's going to be out for. So Janssen's got to step in and he's got to start scoring. You know, the way Tottenham play, you know, he's got that energy, and apparently Pochettino, you know, spent a long time tracking him in terms of finding that sort of Kane understudy or as close to a player where you could get to Harry Kane and buy him. And I think, you know, within the Spurs ranks, they feel they've got a bit of a bargain on their hands there and a real good player. So be interesting to see how he gets on. But yeah, I think Tottenham will do it. I mean, Middlesbrough have only failed to score in one game this season, but as Derek says, they shouldn't have had that goal allowed against Everton. They are what they are, Middlesbrough. We're going to say it a lot this year. You know, well organised, they're tight, they've got a big wage bill, they've got a lot of players who've been there and done it all over Europe, really, but ultimately they still don't have that dynamism that you need in the Premier League to cause Tottenham big problems. So Tottenham will do what they do, they will sit in, they will frustrate, and ultimately Middlesbrough don't have the quality to unlock this Spurs defence, and that's why Tottenham will win the game. They won't need to score, I don't think, more than 2 Spurs here to win the game, but I'm going to go for the Spurs win and under 2.5 goals at 14-5.
Sunderland versus Crystal Palace next. Sunderland 2-1 to win the match. The draw 21-10 with Palace 8-5. Enhanced odds, Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win was 18-5, now 5-1. And Christian Benteke to score and Crystal Palace to win was in the market at 14-5. It's now available at 4-1. Tom, David Moyes clearly not sure about his players. Sunderland have made 14 changes to their starting 11 in their opening 5 Premier League games this season, which is more than any other side. We need to remember that Sunderland's first league win in each of the last 3 seasons has come in October, so they don't start quickly ever, or they haven't recently, Sunderland. There's just no optimism there, is there, at all?
Absolutely none, and the manager sucked any that there might have been out of the club within the first couple of weeks. David Moyes must, at times, you know, if he sat at home and he sat in his living room with a beer, he must just think, what? I know you want to get back in the game, but you just think, what am I going to do at Sunderland? How on earth is he going to turn that side into a competitive team? They're a team that, away from home, are all right. They're not going to win many games, far from it. But at home, they're really struggling. I was looking at this. The last four goals they've scored at home have been scored by defenders. You know, I can't see them getting anything here. And I've been doing the Alan Pardew dance all week because I love Palace last week at home against Stoke. And you know, six goals in their last two matches. There is a little bit of swagger about Palace. And we talk about defenders scoring goals. You know, Palace have had their fair share from Tompkins, but certainly, you know, the players at the back have been chipping in, haven't they? You know, people like Scott Dan, they're worth a lot this weekend. I think Palace win this game. And actually, I think the confidence has come back to Palace. I still don't think they're obviously a great side, but, you know, I was watching that performance and, look, Stoke were awful last week. But as I said, that swagger, Zaha was getting more things right than he was getting wrong, which is unusual for him. And I just feel with Benteke, they've got someone they can lob the ball into the box, and he doesn't have to move around very much in that side, but, you know, he'll get chances. I just think Palace will be far too confident, and Sunderland, there's no way I can be backing them. So I'm with Palace this weekend.
8-5, Palace to win the game. If you are looking at Scott Dan to score a goal in this match, he's 11-2. He's scored 7 Premier League goals since the start of last season, which is 2 more than any other Crystal Palace player, and 2 more than any other defender in the division as well. So he's 11-2, Scott Dan to score any time. Derek, I can see David Moyes eventually morphing into Alan Kirbishley. He's going to get sacked here, and then every single time there's a new manager market, he'll pop up at the head of it for about a decade and not get any more jobs. And Sunderland, they're a big price here, though, aren't they? 2-1.
Well, that's it. They are. You know, I looked at this fixture and I thought, I can't be back in Sunderland. But Palace are favourites. Where's the value in Palace there? I just don't see it. They shouldn't be that short. Let's not forget they got beat in midweek in the cap. What cup is it? The EFL Cup now, is it? Yeah. I can't read too much into that result against Stoke last week, because as Tom says, Stoke were appalling, and they've beaten Middlesbrough. Whoopie-do. Too short Palace for me. Yeah, I mean, yeah, they did look a proper side last week, but I want to see more of it before I back them as favourites away from home. Sunderland, I can't back him, no. David Moyes, manager. He's never smiled. 12 years in the Premier League, he's never yet smiled. As if he knew, he was always going to end up at a Sunderland manager. This is a tough fixture, isn't it? I'm just going to play, and I'm going to do the Lee Phelps method. I ain't got a clue, I'm going for the draw.
That was a perfect impression, Derek. 21-10, the draw in the game. That grimace is David Moyes' smile, Derek. That's it.
I mean, Everton were joyless for 12 years under him. You know, he ripped it back out of Man United, went to real sociopath and was hated there. And now Sunderland's got 6 games and he's hated. He's just an awful manager. Can't have him.
Bournemouth versus Everton coming up next. 13-5 Bournemouth, the draw 12-5 Everton, 23-20. Enhanced odds, Everton to score 3 or more goals in the game is 4-1. Callum Wilson to score and Bournemouth to win was 9-2, enhanced to 6-1. And Romelu Lukaku to score and Everton to win was 9-4, now 7-2. I never miss an opportunity to stick the knife into Roberto Martinez, so I'll do it again here. Ronald Koeman has won 13 points, or got 13 points from his first 5 Premier League games in charge of Everton. Martinez got 12 points from his final 13 Premier League games at the club. Doing well at the moment, Derek, Ronald Koeman, with this Everton side. And I don't think they'll mind being knocked out of the EFL Cup midweek as well. I don't think that will be a problem for Koeman. I'm sure that wasn't on the agenda.
No, I mean, Everton fans didn't seem to be too bothered, to be honest. I backed Everton in this fixture. Well, it wasn't this fixture. It was the cup match. It was a cup game at Bournemouth. I think it was in January, February. Maybe I think I'm right there. And Everton was 6-5, and I was all over them. I was telling everyone what a fantastic bet they were. Well, they're roughly the same price here. And I think they're more likely to win with Koeman in charge than they were with Martinez in charge. He won well that day, by the way, Everton. The league fixture was mad, wasn't it? Wasn't it that 3-3 game? It was about 7 goals in injury time. I don't think you're going to get that again because the Everton are a lot more solid side. Obviously, would they be a lot more solid under May than they were under Martinez? But they look a proper team. They look a workmanlike isn't a word, but they look like a team that's going to give everybody a game. You know, every game they play in, you know, against the Man City's, the Liverpool's, they're going to give them a game, Everton. And I think they're a decent bet here against Bournemouth. They're a very beatable side, Bournemouth. You know, so every now and again they'll come up with a performance that takes your breath away and you think, Jesus, you know, they look a tidy side. And then they'll revert to type again and they're easy to beat. I think there's a lot more to come from Everton here and I'm strong on the away win here.
Derek mentioned that 3-3, Tom. I can see this being open. I don't see how we don't get goals in this game because Bournemouth under Eddie Howe only know one way to play, and that's by being open, both defensively and in midfield. And Everton have the personnel now to take advantage of that.
Yeah, you know, I've been really impressed with Everton. I mean, by all intents and purposes, they played really well against Norwich in midweek. They were just unlucky. I mean, it was just one of those freak sort of matches. And I'm not sure about whether they wouldn't have. I mean, I think they'd have been targeting some kind of silverware this season. I think it's a chance loss. I think Everton would have been a club that could have gone all the way. But obviously, with the start they've made in the league and where they are at the moment, they've got to go and win this game, haven't they? And Bournemouth themselves, you know, their last 5 league matches at home, they've scored exactly 1 goal. But defensively, you know, they've only kept 1 shutout, and that was against West Brom the other week. So I think the problem for Bournemouth is how open they're going to be. And actually, when they're conceding 2s and 3s, obviously, it puts a huge amount of pressure on the attackers. And, you know, I've been impressed with Everton. I thought tactically, even though it was against Sunderland, I thought Ronald Koeman played an absolute blinder. And he's not afraid to make big decisions at half-time, as he did in that game, where he took off Barkley, put on De La Feo. And I think he can do the same. And I think sort of being one of those proactive managers, you know, can end up going from what could have petered out into a draw into what eventually was a comfortable win. So I'm going for goals in this one too. I mean, both of Everton's away games this season, we've seen over 3 goals. They've scored at least 2 goals in the last 6 games against Bournemouth. And they're winning games as well. So I think Everton will win, but I would probably put Everton at winning both teams to score at 3-1. That's where I would be heading. I still think Bournemouth at home, I always fancy them to score a goal, but it might be consolation this weekend for them.
I do like that. 3-1 Everton to win and both teams to score in the game. Next up, Liverpool versus Hull. Liverpool 1-4 to win this weekend. The draw 11-2 with Hull 11-1. Philip Coutinho to score and Liverpool to win was 11-10, now 11-8. And Abel Hernandez to score and Hull to win was 22-1. It's now 33-1. Tom, will this be a bloodbath here, the way Liverpool are ripping into sides at the moment? We've been waiting for this under Jurgen Klopp, and I think they might start doing it consistently now. They came past Derby County in midweek with ease, and since losing to Burnley, they've drawn at Spurs and beaten Leicester and Chelsea. And that first half last Friday against Chelsea was absolutely sensational.
Brilliant. You know, and again, it's something we talked about with Liverpool. It's what kind of Liverpool side turns up, and when they're good, they're as good as anybody in the division, if not the best, when they play like that. Although Man City will have something to say about that. They're brilliant, and this is the toughest game that Hull are going to have faced this season. I know they've played Manchester United, and they've played the champions, and they've played Arsenal, but this is the toughest game. You know, the other 3 matches they've played against those sides I mentioned were at home. And I think now all of a sudden it's all right, you know, the start that Hull had made, but, you know, they ultimately lost to Manchester United, however well they played. They got that late draw at Burnley, which was decent, but they were completely embarrassed, you know, against Arsenal. I mean, outplayed. But I suppose I say embarrassed. There's no great shame in losing to Arsenal like that, because Arsenal can do that. I just think with this one, it's going to be nigh on impossible for Hull City to get a result, because when I look at that Liverpool side, there's too many threats all over the place. And again, I would look at goals in this one. I mean, I think we could end up with a similar sort of lead that Liverpool get, like the one they had over Leicester. I mean, it was 4-1 that day. I would probably look at Liverpool on the handicap, and at the very least look at -2 at 6-4. I think there's too much movement, too much pace, too much power, and Liverpool are a team flying at the moment.
Good time to be a Liverpool fan, Derek.
Yeah, it is. I was just talking in the pub the other night. You watched that performance against Chelsea last Friday, was it? And then you compare that with the performance we got under Roy Hodgson, and it's light years difference. It really is. I mean, he's done wonders, Klopp. He really has. And you know, everything Tom says about this picture is right. How can Hull get anything from it? But Liverpool are 1-4, and I can't go back in Liverpool at 1-4. You know, this should be an absolute stone cold blank and certainty the way Liverpool are playing. And you look at Hull's, you know, list of players, and you think, well, there's nothing there. What are Liverpool going to be scared of there? But Liverpool 1-4, I just cannot bring myself to back it. I never did. I just cursed myself. You know, I'd come around 10-5 on Friday, Hull get a late equaliser or something. I'll be saying, I knew it. But I'm going to do the same time. I don't feel so bad if I back a 6-4 poke that loses. Liverpool -2 or 6-4. That looks a bet because the goals are scoring right now. You can't see Liverpool scoring 2 or 3. You know, it's a question of trying to keep it tight to the back. They've conceded against everybody in the league this season, Liverpool, which is a bit of a worry. And Hull have scored against everybody in every match they've played this season, apart from Arsenal. So, you know, there could be a goal for Hull here. Both teams to score, by the way, is 23-20. Mm. I wouldn't put too many people off back in that. But you can't see Liverpool not scoring a few. So, yeah, 6-4 -2, Liverpool.
When you were in the pub talking, Derek, there was someone there with you, wasn't there?
No, no one was listening. Nowhere. I couldn't even get saved.
Liverpool versus Hull then, 1-4 Liverpool to win. The draw, 11-2, Hull 11-1. Swansea Man City next, 15-2 Swansea to win the game. The draw, 19-5. And Man City in the betting at 2-5. Enhanced odds, Boyer Baston to score and Swansea to win was 12-1, now 16-1. And Sergio Aguero, who returns this weekend, him to score and Man City to win, was 10-11, now in the betting at 5-4. I can't see past that 5-4, Derek. Aguero to score and Man City to win.
Yeah,
it just looks like one of those where you're getting odds against on something that will happen more often than not in this fixture.
And it is. I mean, you know, you look at Real Madrid games, and then you see equivalent prices for Ronaldo, and it's frequently 4-7. You know, when Real Madrid ship up at somewhere like Alaves, it'll be even away from home 4-7, and you're getting odds again for Aguero, who just he doesn't really need that many chances to score, does he? I mean, I've never known a finisher like him. He's absolutely unbelievable. 15-2 Swansea. I can't remember a team being a bigger price at home. In the Premier League, that's a massive price at home now, isn't it?
Yeah.
But easy to overlook because there's nothing at Swansea, is there? You got Sigurdsson, might come up with the odd bit of talent, but I don't see how they're going to do anything against City here. The one worry for City punters might be the Champions League game next week, but I mean, you know, they've got a big enough squad to cope with that now. Yeah, it's got to be a City win easily. And yeah, the 5-4, that's probably the best bet of all. Aguero to score and City to win.
Yeah, 5-4, one of the enhanced odds offers. And Derek mentioned they've got Gylfi Sigurdsson, Tom, who's their most likely goal scorer. I shoved Fernando Llorente in my fantasy team earlier on in the season. And I've just been cursing him every single week. Not scored yet.
What on earth possessed you to do that? what was the basis? What was the thinking, though?
Well, I thought talented striker coming to the Premier League will make an instant impact for Swansea. It's not happened at all.
Well, I suppose in recent years they have had a Meachie, they have had a Wilfred Bone, haven't they? Have been a regular goal scorer for them. But that's the difference for Swansea this season and this week. I mean, obviously they met in the cup. But there were 17 changes amongst both teams for that game. We'll revert to type this weekend because Pep Guardiola, there'll be no let off for him. And you know, you look at the speculation about Gwendolyn this week and his future and Ryan Giggs. And normally at Swansea, when the speculation starts to surface, it's normally bang on the money. You know, I think this is going to happen. I think Ryan Giggs will end up as the manager of Swansea. And I think they might regret not doing that in the summer and actually making that change, because I think, you know, Hugh Jenkins there has probably fancied him for quite a while and wanted him in. So put that uncertainty into the mix. Put the fact they're playing against a team that's scored 15 goals already this season. Just look brilliant. And actually, I think with regard to the prices, as Derek says, they don't necessarily get the respect they deserve, Man City, for how they're playing. You know, they are equivalent right now, as we speak, of a Real Madrid, Barcelona. It is that type. And I look at Aguero here. He's, you know, he's been able to put his feet up a little bit. He will be itching to go. 14-5 he is to score 2 or more. I absolutely love it. I think they're going to get an absolute boatload of chances. And Man City look the real deal this season. And I know you can look at their performance against Bournemouth and think, yeah, it's Bournemouth away from home. But ultimately, they were brilliant. And at the moment, they've got so many players playing at the top of their game. I would be looking at that Aguero 2 or more at 14-5, but Man City -2 at 5-2. I think they'll probably be 2-0 up at the break, and they'll go on and win this comfortably. I think again, past score lines here, you're looking at 3 and 4-0.
Don't switch off yet, listeners, either, because we've saved the best until last. Stoke versus West Brom is the fixture we finished with this weekend. Stoke 29-20, the draw 21-10 with West Brom 11-5. Enhanced odds, Wilfred Bonny to score and Stoke to win was 100-30, now 9-2. And Salomon Rondon to score and West Brom to win was 19-5. It's now been enhanced to 5-1. Stoke are bottom. They've picked up just 1 point from their five fixtures so far. They've got a goal difference of minus 11. And West Brom, as we mentioned earlier, took advantage of West Ham last weekend. And I'd have given a huge price on West Brom scoring 4 goals in a game this season. Did it last week. I don't know about this fixture. Tom, have you got any idea?
Not really. I mean, you see Stoke are shipping goals, 8 in the last 2 home matches. But then you think, I know West Brom scored 4 last week, but that's got to be a one-off. If I'm looking at both sides and I'm thinking, where are the problems, where are the issues this season? It's been quite consistent now for Stoke, conceding goals, conceding soft goals, set pieces. They look an absolute shambles at the back. And I think the absence of Jack Butland is a massive contributing factor to that. I look at West Brom and I think, all right, you know, they've struggled to score, but on the whole, they haven't given a huge amount away this year. I think if you were looking at a side to nick this, which is, I think, what it would be if either side win, I think you'd probably just edge towards West Brom, particularly at the prices. I don't know. The only thing that sticks out for me is probably West Brom draw no bet at 5-4, because I can probably see this ended up being a draw. But all is not right at Stoke. All is not right at West Brom. But the West Brom players have got to feel a little bit more confident than Stoke do. And I said it last week. When I'm seeing a team concede the amount of goals Stoke, there's something deep-rooted is really wrong at that club, really wrong in that team. So I can't be backing a team that's conceding the goals they conceded, even though they are playing against West Brom.
Is this our 0-0 this week, Derek? 8-1, 0-0?
Yeah, I don't even think there'll be that many goals. Under 1.5 is 21-10, and I'm on that. I mean, I know West Brom got 4 last week, but that was a one-off. I mean, they doubled their tally for the last 4 seasons, I think. That ain't going to happen again. Tony Pulis, the manager, will be happy if he keeps, you know, if he keeps a clean sheet. And at the moment, I think Stoke probably will as well. Something is definitely wrong at Stoke, obviously, because you're not going to get pulled. But the team that finished last week, was it 9, something like that? They shouldn't be getting the results to do. And when I watched them last week, one thing that stuck out big time was about, they don't seem to be playing for each other. It seems to be a collection of individuals. And that's the big problem. I know that they're shipping goals, from cheap goals and set pieces, but they just don't look like a team. They really don't. And that's not an easy fix, that is not an easy fix. And, you know, I think Mark Hughes has been backed to be the next manager to go. There's some stiff competition in that race, but I can understand why he's been backed, because he doesn't seem capable of getting this Stoke side playing like a team. So I have no idea who'll win the game. I'd avoid both sides like a barge pole, to be honest, if they were in other fixtures. Under 1.5 looks a big price to me.
I tell you what, you know, Mark Hughes is under a little bit of pressure because he's pulled one of the oldest tricks in the book this week in his press conference by appearing with some stubble. Just to make it appear like, one, I'm stressed out. Two, I'm just so busy trying to sort this problem out, I don't have time to shave. And it's a classic managerial trick. You notice it. Whenever a manager's under pressure, the stubble, the designer stubble
I'll
is always
that,
there.
Yeah, I'll watch.
Keep your eyes peeled for that.
I will do.
I think Francesco Guidolin, by the way, is the man that's going to go first. He's been really well backed. I've been looking for odds on the William Hill website. They're not available at the moment for some reason, but Guidolin was 11-1 on Monday, I think, and then he's been hammered in the market down to second favourite behind Mark Hughes, and I think he's going to be the first manager out.
Swansea normally have somebody lined up. They didn't actually when they brought in Guidolin. There was that long spell where Alan Curtis was in charge and they didn't really know what was going on. Normally in the past, they have had somebody lined up, so clearly Ryan Giggs must have been sounded out, and Giggs needs to take a job sooner. You know, if he thinks he's going to be a manager, you know, he's got to get a job. But then the interesting thing for Stoke is if they lose at the weekend, the pressure is right on Mark Hughes. And where does Stoke go and get, you know, their next boss? That'll be an interesting one.
Naps, unfortunately, chaps. We've got to talk about the Naps. The Naps table at the moment doesn't make particularly pretty reading. I'm top by default more than anything, plus £3. Tom, you're minus £12. Derek, you're minus £50.
Ouch!
At the moment. Thank goodness it's only mythical, Derek. let's pull our socks up this week and hopefully we'll land you a treble. We did land a couple of trebles at big prices last season. Derek, your NAP selection this week.
I'm going to go for Tottenham at Middlesbrough, 21-20.
Tottenham, 21-20. You're playing the one small step card then here, Derek.
Well, yeah, because normally there's a 3-1 pod that jumps out on the group.
Like.
There's nothing like that here this week.
Tottenham 21-20 for Mr. McGovern. Tom Kerwin?
Man City minus two at Swansea at 5-2. I thought similar with Liverpool, but I think Man City are probably playing the better stuff at the moment, and Swansea, disarray, managerial, obviously issues are there as well. I think Man City will wipe the floor with a minus two.
And I'm going to go for over 3.5 goals in the game between Bournemouth and Everton this weekend, which is available at 9-4. So your treble is Tottenham to win at Middlesbrough 21-20 is Derek's pick. Man City minus two against Swansea at 5-2 is Tom's selection. And I'm going over 3.5 goals in the Bournemouth-Everton game at 9-4, which brings the treble to 22.31-1. Derek, thank you for your company.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone that's listened this weekend as well. Remember, you can download this podcast via audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill. You can catch us on iTunes as well. And myself, Derek and Tom will be back next week. If you're having a bet on the Premier League this weekend, very best of luck.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey-o, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops.